Our Wednesday night service, and if you'd like to find your place in Romans chapter 13, and the title of the message is High Time. And may the Lord help us to wake out of sleep, and that's what we're about to read here in Romans chapter 13. And it's revival time here at Myrtle Beach at Friendship Baptist Church, November 21st through the 23rd. And we'll be recording each service live, so we'll post them after the service is complete. So look for them just a little bit after the service time there. You'll be able to listen to the message online, and we do thank you for meeting with us there, and you'll be blessed. Evangelist Tim Green is going to be speaking, and Evangelist Justin Baker is going to be leading our singing and doing our special music for us, and we look forward to what God's got in store for us. We need to be revived, And if you've been listening to the Wednesday night services here lately, and Lord's put a burden on my heart for revival, and we need to be revived. And the word revival is not found in the New Testament, but the word repent is. And in the Old Testament, each time they asked for reviving and revival to be revived, there was some repenting that took place. And may the Lord help us to be right with God, to walk with Him, and to want to see people get saved. And I tell you, that's what we're here for, to tell others about Christ. And whether it's on the job site or at school or in our family, may the Lord help us. You know, the holidays are coming up, and what a great time that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people everywhere hurting. There's people everywhere in need of some hope. And may the Lord help us. And again, the title of the message is High Time. It's high time to wake out of sleep, and may the Lord help us. This COVID sure has slowed things down. This COVID has shut the doors down in many churches, and some churches haven't reopened yet. And what's bad about all this is that there's not much evangelization going on. Hey, if the doors aren't open, then people aren't going out and telling others about Jesus. And may the Lord help us, and may the Lord set a hedge of protection about His churches, and keep us open. And keep us publishing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that can help. And there's hope. There's hope. And if you found your place here in Romans chapter 13. And the one thing that we're going to be talking about here. And of course you heard that in the title. It's High Time. We're going to be talking about time. Knowing the time. What time it is. And what we should be doing with the time that we have. And you know that time is the one thing that every person on the face of this earth we have in common. That's the one thing. No matter where you live, no matter what work you do, no matter what church you go to, the one thing that we all have in common is time. And one day we're going to have to give an account for everything that we did with the time, the talents, and treasures that God entrusted us with. You know, when I was younger, I really didn't think about time. But now that I'm just a little bit more seasoned, we'll say, time has become a valuable commodity for me. And now I don't know about you, but our bodies have let us know that time has had an effect on us. Hey, there's certain things that I remember doing, but time has changed the way I look at those things. Staying up all night, only getting a few hours of sleep, getting up and running here and there, and then doing it all over again. For me, those days are far gone. And I value a full night's sleep. But I've learned to appreciate Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I've learned to respect time. When I was meditating on this passage, I got to thinking about how many times I quoted from this passage. Right here in Romans chapter 13, without even realizing or taking note that I was quoting Scripture. When I speak to my children, I can remember many times having to tell my children something, and I'd say something like this, "Well, it's about time. Hey, it's time that you did this or that." Or I even said, "It's high time that you did this or that," or that you got on the ball there about doing something. And may the Lord help us here in Romans 13, because Paul's writing to save people. And he reminds them of the value of the time they have to serve the Lord. We have less time than ever before to serve Him. In Romans chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the whole armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." If you'll notice there in verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time." The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, tells us that we should know what time it is. In Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." To number our days refers to time. With the days and time that we have left, we should apply our hearts to wisdom. And where does that wisdom come from? Hey, it comes from God, and it comes from His Word. I like what it said in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. Listen to what it says. "And of the children of Issachar," and understand this, understand these words here, "which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Where did this understanding come from that these children of Issachar had? It came from God's Word. These men understood the times. They had a good understanding of what God wanted for them. Hey, in our passage, Paul says, "And that knowing the time, knowing God's Word, knowing the will of God, knowing what God requires of me." Oh, we need to be living in the knowledge of what God wants for you and me. It says it's high time that we live according to this knowledge that comes from God. We need to be men and women of understanding, knowing what God wants from you and me. What does He want? Well, here, look in Romans chapter 12, just right here, the same page, or right next to it, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. What does knowing the times mean? What does that entail? Well, right here it is. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's what knowing the time is. It's what God expects from every Christian, whether we're young or whether we're old. God expects us to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. Paul says in chapter 13, it says, "And that knowing the time," knowing where I fit in the acceptable and perfect will of God. And Paul goes on to say in verse 13 and verse 11, "That now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. That now, it says in the verse. What does that mean, now? That's a word of urgency. Have you ever told your children now? And they understood real quick that whatever it was you were saying, you wanted it done right then. It didn't need to be put off. And God's telling us the same thing in reference to this passage here. He says that now, it is high time. He said right now, don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll get to it next year. I'll get to it, you know, when I can get around to it. I'll put it on the list. Oh, he said it's high time to awake out of sleep. Have you ever had to wake your children up more than once in the same morning? Hey, you wake them up and they look like they're going to get up and get moving, you know, and then they fall back asleep. And then you go back in the room 5-10 minutes later, and you know what? Your words and your tones have changed now. Now you're saying, it's time to get up. Hey, it's time to get a move on. Usually when those words come out, it's not an off day for the child. They may have the responsibilities or that they need to attend to, or maybe they're going to school or getting off to work or something. But God's saying to you and me that it's high time. It's high time. And says in that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. What's he saying? Hey, it's time to get busy. It's time to get out of our comfort zone. I don't know about you, but you're laying all snug in that bed, and man, it feels good. That alarm clock goes off. Sometimes we're tempted just to lay there a few minutes. Because we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. We don't want to get out. But God's saying right here, and far as his concern for us, he's telling us it's high time to get out of our comfort zone. It's time to get going. Why is that? Because we have less time than ever before to get things done for God. You know that world deaths have drastically increased since COVID hit? The Bible says knowing the time, realizing what's going on, knowing the time, understanding the acceptable and the perfect will of God, we had better awake out of sleep. Then in verse 11 it says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Here again we have this urgent word, now. For now. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus is coming back. Look, if you've been saved 10 years, then you are 10 years closer to getting to heaven than the day that you were saved. Every day that passes by, we're one day closer to our Savior coming back. We're one day closer to going to heaven. Hey, that does not mean that we are to try to hurry up and get through our bucket list. Because you know what? One of these days, none of those things are going to matter. We're not going to be sitting around heaven and sitting on our front porches and exchanging thoughts of what we used to do while we were here on earth and talk about everything that we did and every place we visited. Hey, but thank God we can enjoy the journey. God allows us to enjoy the journey while we're here. But we got to realize, knowing the time, that one of these days none of those things are going to matter. And Paul said in Acts chapter 20, and verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, in Romans 13, Paul has reminded us of God's bucket list. God has a bucket list for you and me. And we have less time than before to serve Him and to accomplish His will. Hey, when we stand before Jesus one day, I wonder if He's going to ask us the question, what'd you do the last 10 years of your life? What did you do? What are we going to say? Because he's not going to be impressed if we say, well, I did this and I did that and I traveled here and man, I went over here and I got real good at playing pickleball or I got real good at playing cricket or I'm just naming some of these sports I don't know much about. And but I'm just saying, you understand, we can enjoy the journey, but none of those things are going to matter in eternity. He's not going to be impressed with our bucket list of activities. But then he's probably going to get a little more specific. And then he's going to say this. What'd you do for me in the last 10 years of your life? In Romans 13:12, it tells us, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It says the night is far spent. That speaks of our life right now. It is far spent. For me, it's been 45 years since I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Hey, I'm 50 years old now, and my life is far spent. Hey, for many who were saved at a later time in life, your life was spent in ignorance. That's what the Bible says. And for all of us, our life is spent full of trouble. Job said in Job 14:1 that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But thank God that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hey, we ought to wake out of sleep. We ought to get busy for God. Why? Because there's a better day coming. The night is far spent. Oh, but that eternal day, it's just right here on the curve. It's just right here in the morning. It says that the day is at hand. That speaks of that everlasting day, that eternal day. And unlike the night, that eternal day is a day of knowledge. There'll be no ignorance in heaven. We'll see things as they are. We'll see God as He is, and we'll have a perfect understanding. Instead of having to face danger, we'll have a place of safety. We'll be free from all alarms. Hey, instead of trouble that we've had to face during the night of our life, there's going to be perfect peace. Oh, now that being said, verse 12 goes on to say this. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He says we need to cast off the works of darkness. Hey, that's living for this life only. That's living for ourselves. That's only seeking temporary comforts. That's laying up temporary treasures here on this earth. That's just living to satisfy the desires of the flesh. But seeing the night is far spent and knowing what God expects of us, then we're to cast off works of darkness. We should not get entangled with the affairs of this world. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, it's not saying here that you need to quit your job. No, you need to work because you got to feed your family. You need to work. It's not saying that you shouldn't take care of your family. It's not saying that you shouldn't enjoy the journey. But it is saying, seeing the night is far spent, we better make sure that everything we're doing is so that we can invest in that eternal day. Look, I don't know about you, but I want some crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. Because he's not going to be impressed with my bank account. He's not going to be impressed with what kind of car I drove. He's not going to be impressed with my golf score. He's not going to be impressed with all these things. I want to have something to lay at Jesus' feet. And then verse 12 it says, to put on the armor of light. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, because the night is far spent. And look, for most of us, we're closer to heaven than we are the day that we were born. Every day that passes, we're one day closer to Jesus' return. Hey, look, and we don't retire from the spiritual warfare. That we may be able to retire from a job, but we never retire from the spiritual warfare that's taken place. Verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hey, can I just tell you that the battle is raging at all ages? Hey, I'm telling you, it's just as real for the 5-year-old boy that knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior as it is for the 50-year-old saint or for the person that's been saved 50 or 60 years. That spiritual battle is still raging. That's why we're to put on the armor of light. And we better wake out of sleep. We better be ready and putting on that armor of God. What's the purpose of putting on the whole armor of God? It's so that we can stand. And having done all, to stand. You know what? God pays attention to those who take a stand for Him. You remember over there in the book of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as they took a stand against idol worship, they took a stand against the world's religious music of that day. They took a stand for the Lord. And you notice that Jesus in that story, you know the story, the fiery furnace, you know that story very well, but you know Jesus did not come down when they were being tested by the king. He did not come down when all the others were bowing and they were standing. Jesus didn't show up when the king was threatening them and heating up that fiery furnace 7 times hotter. He didn't show up when they were bound with cords. He didn't show up as they were being led to the fiery furnace. But their stand caught the eye of God. Jesus says, "Hey, them 3 boys down there standing when everybody else is bowing." He said, "I'm going to go down there. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead of them, and I'll be waiting for them down there in the fire." Oh, I'm telling you, if we'll put on the whole armor of light and stand, and having done all to stand, you know what God's going to do? He's going to take note. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for some individuals who will simply just take a stand. That'll wake up out of sleep. Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, they came out unscathed out of the fire. And their testimony made an impact on King Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't get converted at that time, but a seed was planted. I like what he said. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and having changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." You know, no lost person will take note of someone who's compromising. No lost person will take note of someone trying to worship God in the world's way. But you know what they'll take note of? They'll take note of a person who'll take a stand for God and simply trust Him. Myrtle Beach does not need another mega church. Myrtle Beach does not need another contemporary ecumenical come as you are, believe believe what you want, use whatever Bible you want, church. Myrtle Beach needs a church who will stand on the truths of God's Word. If ever our town needed a church that'll shine the light of God's Word, it's now. It's high time. Oh, I'm telling you, Myrtle Beach needs a church that'll put on the whole armor of God and stand, and having done all to stand. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to take note. He said, hey, look at that little church down there. They're standing for me. They've waken up out of sleep. I believe I'll just come down there and visit with them for a little while. In the fiery furnace story, the end of that story is amazing. Because the very one who tried to destroy them, the very one, that person, Nebuchadnezzar, turns and gives them the permission to worship their God as they see fit. One day, the government here in America may try to shut down churches. They had a pretty good trial run with this COVID, with all the restrictions there. You know, I heard this here last week. I heard that if it were not for the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons who go out in mass numbers knocking on doors and giving out pamphlets, that knocking on doors and mailing out the gospel would have already been outlawed. Isn't it a shame that when we go out to our community and we go door to door, that when people see us coming, they don't say, close your doors. Here comes those independent fundamental Baptists. You see, the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons, they don't have the truth, but they have more zeal than we do. Go back to Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, the night's far spent. We have less time than ever to do the will of God. Will we rise to the occasion for the cause of Christ? Will we be the ones to take a stand and see God do a great work in our community? Or will we fail to recognize what time it is?